Hey, Chicago. What do you say? Cubs gonna win today.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Welcome back to another exciting edition of the Pointless Exercise Podcast. It's time for the Cub Podcast with Mike Prasnowski. Mike, how are you?
Doing well, Andy, and just want to say a special thank you to you for joining me last night on Bums in the Bleachers. Talk some Sammy Sosa along with Pete Hand and my co-host John Oliva on that show. So, you know, I appreciate you giving up your time to do that, which it was a lot of time if you heard or watched that show at all.
It wasn't that long. That was like half of Remember This Crap. It was
true.
90 minutes of Sammy. It's not enough. Could have done. He was there for what, 14 years. We could have done 14 hours on Sammy. However many years. I don't even know how many years it was. Cup. 92 to 2004. 13 seasons probably.
Yeah.
And he's back in town. I saw pictures of him. He's made it. He's signing autographs and hanging out and looking strange. But that's, we love
him. I don't know if you happen to saw, but I joked on the separate Twitter account I have for the Bumps the Bleachers account. I said, you know, there was a picture of him taking a selfie with a fan, and but it only showed him looking at the phone. And I thought, oh, this must be Sammy looking at what we said about him last night.
It probably was. Like, look at this, Sammy. There's an hour and a half podcast all about you. And he's like, okay, buddy. He called everybody buddy all the time. He looks, with his new skin tone, he looks a lot better without the pink bowler hat, though.
Yes, yeah, definitely.
A little more, it looks a little more natural without that. But his Batman villain picture that everybody likes to put up, that one, and but never as good as the one, the picture of him and so, is it Sonya? Is that his wife? Sonya Sosa, yeah. Where they're dressed up like cowboys. I mean, that's pretty good.
I think my favorite, I mean, there's nothing anything special about the original pictures he took, but when former Bear Anthony Adams went and copied all the pictures he did of him in, like, the yellow sweater. Yeah.
Now, we're going to talk about the Cub, about their roster tonight, and they really don't have a DH. So while Sammy's in town, maybe somebody should take him over to the Cubs Performance Lab. I'm sure the Ricketts would love that, and have him take a few hacks. Maybe maybe Sammy can make a comeback.
Maybe.
Or maybe not. All right, so the it's weird, right? Like, the season starts next week, but not, but only for two teams. The Padres and Dodgers.
I hate it when MLB does this too.
Are off to Korea for a couple of games. I saw that Bob Nightingale with important news that Dylan Cease did not make the charter plane. He didn't get there in time, so he's got to fly coach probably with a few connections to get to Seoul. So he can sit on the bench because he's not going to pitch in either game. But he will be there, according to Bob. Very important stuff.
Proud we are for him for that. It's so weird when MLB does that, where they make you play actual regular season games and they have spring training games after. Yeah. I remember that used to be a fixture with, like, the Red Sox and A's for a few years. I don't know. When the Cubs were there in 2000 against the Mets, was that how it was set up too?
Yep, they had the Cubs came back and played spring training games, and then season started up again. Oh, and what a team that was! Kyle Farnsworth was he the opening day starter? He started one of the two games, and they won his game. The Farns,
wow,
pretty heady stuff
as a starter.
Yeah, that 2000 team. Wow, that was a juggernaut. Well, thankfully, the 2024 edition of the Cubs. Far more talent than the 2000 Cubs did. And one of the things we want to do is take a look at the hotly contested battles for the final roster spots. And with, I always have the proviso that the opening day lineup, the opening day roster is the most overrated thing in the entire season, because you are literally not picking the best 26 players. You are looking at your roster in total and trying to figure out, through sending guys to the minors and putting guys on waivers and not putting guys on waivers, how you can shove as many guys as you want through that process. And you will send some guys to AAA because they have options left who may be better than some of the guys you keep, because you think it's the hardest time to get a guy through who doesn't have any options left. The hardest time to get a guy through waivers is the last couple of days of spring training, because nobody's roster is set yet. And they're like, oh, that guy's available? Yeah, we could find a spot for him. If you wait a couple of days after opening day, they've all obsessed over their rosters and they've made the phone calls and told the guys they made the team and done all that stuff. It's far less likely that then they'll shove somebody off the roster to steal one of your guys. It does happen, but smart teams don't worry about getting the best 26 there for opening day. They're trying to figure out how best to keep as many of the guys as they want. So looking at the Cubs, the guys who are on the bubble, Jed could make it pretty easy on himself, actually, and piss off some Cub fans. And that's got to be half the fun of the job. But I thought we'd start with the position players. You can only keep 13 pitchers, so every team does. So there's 13 position players and 13 pitchers. And the Cubs, the first nine is pretty straightforward. Ian Happ, Cody Bellinger, Seiya Suzuki, Michael Busch, the great Michael Busch, Nico Horner, Dansby Swanson, Christopher Morel, and then your two catchers, Yan Gomes and Miguel Amaya. the Cubs don't really have a DH. I mean, if Morel plays third, there's no set DH. There'll be rotating guys through, and that it's when you look at the guys fighting for the bench, it's a little underwhelming. Then when you figure one of these guys has to play, one of these guys has to be in the lineup every day. So we know Mike Tauchman has made the team because Craig Counsell told him and us. So you're already down to three. You're down to three spots. You've got your eight position players and your extra catcher, and then Mike Tauchman. So that's 10. So for 13 roster spots, you've got some combination of Miles Mastroboni, Nick Madrigal, Patrick Wisdom, Alexander Canario, Matt Mervis, and then the non-roster guys, Garrett Cooper, Dominic Smith, or as Zach Zabin called him, Dominique Smith, David Peralta, and just because...
Did he really say that?
Yes, he called him Dominique. And just because there are some idiot Cub fans who think David Bodie deserves consideration for the roster, we'll include David Bodie. So you can only pick three of those guys, and there's an extra hurdle for Garrett Cooper, Dominique, David Peralta, and Bodie in that not only do they have to earn a spot, but they're not on the 40-man, and somebody's got to come off the 40-man for them to go on it. However, there is a guy already who is going to go on the 60-day injured list, and that's Caleb Killian, and he is on the 40-man. So there is one spot that they don't have to do anything with because they haven't done it yet, but they will put him on the 60-day, which opens a spot. The other important thing is these guys have options.
Helps.
Miles Mastroboni, Nick Madrigal, Patrick Wisdom, Alexander Canario, and Matt Mervis.
Wisdom, really?
Yes. Wisdom has one left. And I think he's getting close to the 5 years of service time, which once he has it, he can basically refuse to go, but he can't yet. According to Arizona Phil, I'm relying on him and his 40-man roster with the waiver stuff on it. That's why I'm saying that Jed could actually make it easy on himself because he can send any of those guys out and not risk losing them. Because why would you want to lose some of that amazing talent?
Yeah, how can you afford to lose a Nick Madrigal or a Miles Mastroboni? Just hearing the fact that the stat about Winston, once he clears 5 years of service time, that he can reject being sent down to Iowa, makes me wonder how, you know, if Tommy was telling you about that rule in 2016 when the Cubs tried to do that to him. Although I don't know if he would have had 5 years yet.
Well, he didn't. He didn't because he couldn't. That's why he went home and sat in his mom's basement instead. And actually, all that means is if they try to option you and you don't want to go, you can become a free agent. Once you're out of options, once you're out of options, they have to designate you for assignment, and you can either Actually, no. He'd have to be waived first, and then if nobody claimed him, he either goes to Iowa or he declares himself a free agent. I'm a free agent. And so if he gets claimed, he has to go play for whoever claims him. But he is not, according to that, he is not in that boat yet. In fact, the only guy in consideration for the Cub bench who is out of options that's on the 40-man is Tauchman. He's the only one they couldn't send to Iowa without losing.
Well, that makes sense. He's been a major leaguer for a pretty decently long time.
And then Cooper, Smith, Peralta, and Bodie, none of them have options, but it doesn't matter.
Certain, though, that Ian Happ is going to be on the active.
I don't know about Happ.
Do we know for certain? Yeah.
We don't know about Madrigal.
Yeah, we haven't had any updates on him. Nick Madrigal, like the guy on the roster right now for an opening day spot, as much as I hate, you know, as much as it probably would force Miles Mastroianni onto it, you know, Mastroianni is a guy that I think Craig would view as someone he could get some use out of as, you know, as a pinch runner, as a guy who can play multiple positions. You know, he probably would be player number 13, position player number 13, but that alone, I think, could get him on there. Especially, I saw that, you know, last year on the Brewers opening day roster, there was a player named Bobby Miller that, I forget his first name, but had a very, very similar season to what Miles Mastroianni produced, especially, you know, when it comes to stolen bases. So, could be a valuable asset for him, I think. Although, on the other hand, does he really value a pinch runner exclusively that early in the season?
No. See, I think Mastroianni is, like, if I was counsel, I would want him on the team. He's your backup at second and short. He can play third. He can play the outfield. I mean, he started in right field on opening day last year. I think he's a far more useful player than Nick Madrigal is. So I think Mastroianni probably makes it regardless. And so then there's two spots left, right? Are we down? FLS already? Yeah. I also think Garrett Cooper is probably going to make the team.
I think so too. The second that they made that Noster invite signing, it was damn near etched in stone that he would be the one replacing Patrick Wisdom more than likely on the roster, and there's a good chance that he's your opening day designated hitter.
So then that brings it down to that last spot is probably now. I think Canario just goes to Iowa. Mervis is obviously just going to go to Iowa. So that brings the last spot down to Madrigal and Wisdom. Or do you want to add one of Dominique or David Peralta? I don't know why you would waste a roster spot on Dominic Smith. I mean, what does he do that you don't get from lots of other people other than he's left-handed? But he's also left-handed with no power, and I don't see any value there. Now, I don't know if you
basically
saw
the same hitter as Garrett Cooper.
Yeah.
You know, less
Cooper's
power.
Cooper's got a lot more power, and he's right-handed. But if you watch the game today, Cole Wright was announcing with Cliff Floyd. And Cole was talking about David Peralta and talked about how versatile he is. And he said he's a guy who can play the outfield. He can play some first base. He can play some shortstop. He's left-handed. I don't think he's playing a lot of shortstop, Cole.
No, not unless it's not unless Joe Maddon is managing. It's a game that they're blowing, like, you know, some team out that he's got Anthony Rizzo to play shortstop for.
Well, Rizzo played third, right? And so did Don Mattingly played third for the Yankees. So it could happen.
Right.
It's not going to happen. So it's probably, I think that last spot is probably Madrigal, Wisdom, or if they are that enthused about Peralta that they want, you know, that would be if you want a left-handed bat instead of those guys.
I guess from those guys, Wisdom seems the most likely to me, just because he'd be insurance for Morel if Morel, you know, isn't up to standard at third base, and a pretty similar hitter to him, you know, a lot of power, but strikes out a lot.
I mean, I get the feeling.
You get a little more defensive upside with Madrigal. That's about it.
Yeah, you don't, though. I think that's imaginary. I know Patrick Wisdom hasn't been as good. Like, he was actually a really good defensive third baseman the year that he and Bryant were both on the roster at the same time, and he was breaking the rookie home run record.
exactly.
But, I mean, and I know I'm biased because I don't like Nick Madrigal, but to me, there is no defensive upgrade when you put him in, other than the fact that he's going to make less errors, but he's also going to make less plays. And to me, that doesn't have any real value. I can see that. I think the Cubs can easily buy themselves some extra time by either putting Madrigal on the injured list to start the season, or sending him to Iowa because he didn't get enough at-bats in spring training and they, you know, they want to get him some at-bats and blah, blah, blah. They can punt the decision. Mm-hmm. The thing about it is if Peralta is the one that wins the spot, then you have to clear another roster spot. You've got to cut somebody.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Right.
And we'll get to, when we talk about the pitchers, I've got a list then of guys who I think are in danger of losing a 40-man spot if they need to open one or two to add either extra position player or a pitcher who's not on the 40-man.
Right.
What we don't know is how enthralled Craig Counsell is with Nick Madrigal. We know he's excited enough about him that the first thing he did was he told Christopher Morel to go play third base. Which I think is a clue.
Yeah.
Because an easy way to round out that lineup, not a good one, but an easy way is Madrigal and Wisdom play third and Morel DHs and you just leave it that way. But they clearly, if Morel plays third, no matter how that lineup shakes out, you're taking at bats away from Madrigal and Wisdom because you're not going to let those guys DH regularly.
Right.
So I think we know at least what his initial, thoughts were. You know, as a scrappy little guy himself, I'm sure he looks at Madrigal and he's like, I was a lot better than this dude, and I wasn't that good. So.
See, here's the thing. Madrigal, he should start holding his hands up high above his head when
he's going to need to get it jacked up.
Yeah. Right.
The other thing I wonder, though, is if Nick Madrigal would get claimed. If he's the guy you boot off, they don't need to because they have an option. They can just send him to Iowa. If it gets to the point where you want to knock him off the 40 man, I wonder if there's a team in baseball that would claim Nick Madrigal. Maybe the A's, because they have like 9 players, but I don't know who else is looking for a tiny little guy to play second and not hit for any power and not really get on base. And yeah, I know some of the Cubs fans are enthralled by him. He's a guy, I think, if he hadn't been the 4th overall pick, wouldn't be on anybody's roster.
No. Absolutely not. No. I don't know. It would have to be a bottom-feeder team like the A's or now the White Sox after trading the C's. Yeah. How about that? How about a reunion with the White Sox?
Oh, I'd be all for that. That would be great. I would love that. Let the White Sox have him back. I have a feeling they don't want him back,
exactly.
Which should tell you something. Like, now we're good. We had our 2.5 years with him, or year and a half? I think he only played there for a year and a half, I think. They were like, okay, that's enough. Okay, so we'll get, let's do the pitchers, and then we'll do the, we'll play Jed and Carter with our little magnets, sticking them on the dry erase board and coming up with our roster. So the rotation right now appears to be Justin Steele 1, Kyle Hendricks 2, Shota 3, and Jordan Wicks 4. I think he really is the 4. And then the 5th starter with Big Jimmy Taillon going on the certainly going on the 15-day injured list to start the season. One of Hayden Wesneski, Javier Assad, or Drew Smyly. Of those guys, the guys who have options are Jordan Wicks, Hayden Wesneski, and Javier Assad. Counsell seems enthralled with Hayden.
I think at this point, Wicks has pretty well cemented himself in the rotation.
Yeah, I mean he's their 4th starter right now. He's not going anywhere. And this could very well be
a
case of Wesneski and Assad both being good enough to be on the staff, but one or both of them going to Iowa just because they have options. And they can just bring them back when they need them. My guess is the guy who, when the fifth spot runs around, when they use a fifth starter for the first time, and I haven't looked at the schedule to see if they can skip it the first time or not, they probably don't want to. I don't think they're trying to get extra rest for Shota. Kyle probably needs, if you can buy him an extra day, that's probably not a bad thing. So they're probably not going to do a lot of, we only need four starters right now. So my guess is Wesneski is going to get the first start. And that may mean that Assad goes to Iowa to start there until he's needed. And then Smiley, I think, should go to the bullpen.
Definitely Smiley to the bullpen.
Because he was actually useful there last year.
Where he's in the rotation.
And last year he was a useful reliever, and after a good start, he was not a useful starter. After about a couple of months, he was throwing batting practice.
I think I was there for his last useful start, the near perfect game against the Dodgers. I think that the rotation, you do have one of the righties. I would personally prefer Assad there just based on the stats, but Wesneski maybe bounces back from a rough last year, and he does have the higher upside. I guess, to me, it's not all that big of a deal because, when their first start in the rotation comes around, it's going to be against not that great of a lineup, not that great of an environment. Wesneski would work there. Oh, I'd personally rather have Assad.
And then your bullpen, I would think, to open, the guys that are locks are Adbert, Hector Neris, Jerry Merriweather.
Yep.
That might be it for locks. I think Jose Kwas probably is in the bullpen. I don't know. He has an option. They don't have to. He could go to Iowa. If you want a real lefty, I think Luke
Little probably wouldn't have Yency Almonte?
Well, Yency, I don't know that I guess he's a lock. So that's Adbert, Neris, Merriweather, Almonte. So those four, and then you can get four more. One of them might be Smiley. Probably will be Smiley.
Right.
If you get Luke Little, then you have another real lefty, which might put Mark Leiter Jr. in jeopardy. Because he's really there to be the right-hander who gets lefties out.
And you technically already have that with Neris, too, because Neris is kind of a reverse split pitcher, too.
Yeah, and I don't know if they... I don't know if Council's looking at Neris to be like the eighth inning guy and he's just going to use him in the eighth, or he's going to... or he might deploy him earlier if he needs to get a lefty out.
Right.
So that really leads... So how many is that then? Adbert, Neris, Merriweather, Almonte, and either Little or Leiter. So then you've got... That's 1, 2, 3, 4. That's 5. Man, there's a lot of guys in the bullpen. And then Smiley would be 6.
5 plus the 5 in the rotation. Okay, so we got 2 spots left open.
So for those 2 spots...
I'd personally go... Yeah.
You'd have Kwas.
I'd personally go Little for one of them.
Yeah. You'd have Kwas, Keegan Thompson, who I don't think has a chance in hell to make the roster. Daniel Palencia.
No.
And... Luke Little, and that, or then yeah, you also, maybe. But then you get to the guys that you would have to waive somebody. That would be Dick Lovelady, Edwin Escobar, Thomas Pannone, and our old buddy, Carl Edwards Jr.
Carl's Jr. Yep.
So obviously none of those guys have options because none of them are on the roster. If Killian is going off the roster so that you can have Garrett Cooper, then somebody else has to go off the roster to add Carl Jr., which I think is probably what's going to come down to.
That would make sense.
So let's do that. Let's look at the candidates.
I've got the 40-man roster in front of me right now.
Well, I've done all the work here for you. So here are the guys that I think are in jeopardy of falling off the 40-man if the Cubs need to open a spot or two. And they would be Mark Leiter Jr., because every year they waive him and nobody ever claims him. Keegan Thompson, just because I think Keegan has been passed by a bunch of the... I mean, he's not a phone call away in Iowa when he goes down there. There's four or five guys ahead of him.
Right.
I think Brennan Davis is probably in danger of falling off the 40-man for a similar reason. I mean, if they need an outfielder, is that the guy they're going to call? They're not bringing Brennan Davis up.
No, definitely not. He's not even the top center field option at this point, so yeah.
And then the only other guy I could think of would be if Smiley isn't going to be a starter and they're not sure he's going to be an effective reliever, it would be him. And I don't think that's going to happen because he's on the final year of a deal. I think they'll probably just ride it out with him and hope they can get a productive year out of him out of the bullpen.
Is this Luis Vasquez guy I see in the 40-man roster supposed to be very special?
I don't know. The shortstop? They're
number
not
75 they're, in spring training.
Yeah, they're not
24
cutting,
years old.
Yeah. They're not cutting Luis Vasquez. They like him. He'll just finally be getting to Iowa this year. Maybe he might have been going to Double A. No, they like Luis. He's at the very least a guy I think they could trade. So they wouldn't. He would get claimed if they tried to sneak him. Somebody would grab him. I think there's a good chance that Leiter, Keegan, and Brennan would all make it through. Somebody might take Brennan just because of his age and his pedigree, but he's also.
Yeah.
I think a lot of teams probably want to see him actually play. That's his biggest problem is he hasn't played very much because he keeps getting hurt. And I think he would be, I don't think it's going to get to that point because I don't think they're going to have to do three guys. And I think Leiter and Keegan are both ahead of him in line. So I think he just goes to Iowa. But I looked at all the position players and I think he's the most in danger if they want to clear a 40-man spot and use a position player to get rid of. And then there's also, they can trade.
I had him on. Right. I did have him on my initial, 26-man roster. And then, hearing you say that now that, there are actual left-handed options for the Cubs in the bullpen this year, it's not from the fact that, he's not good anymore. I think he's a fine reliever and, in a pinch he's started and looked okay. I just think he's just redundant at this point on this team. Now that there are actual lefties in the bullpen, you may not need him as much.
I think he might, it's funny, he might make the team or he might get waived. Well, I guess he has to because he can't go to Iowa. I think it's probably his spot is probably down to him or Carl. They kind of have to decide, is it worth waiving Leiter to add Carl, or do they just want to keep Leiter, in which case Carl just gets out of his deal and he becomes a free agent, and he goes and signs with somebody else. I mean, Carl came back to the Cubs knowing that he's auditioning for everybody. That doesn't mean he's trying to make the Cubs. He's just trying to prove he can pitch in the big leagues so somebody will pick him up.
Carl being back here, sorry to cut you off. It almost reminds me of the story you always tell about Theo when he first got here saying we're not going to make these signings that are feel good and everything, and then that convention, Kerry Wood come out.
Yeah, I don't know.
It almost feels kind of like that at this point.
I don't know that bringing Carl back is on the emotional. Spectrum of, hey, Kerry Wood's coming back for another year. I can just say that after living through the last part of his first time, I'm not excited about signing up for another go-round with Carl. I think I'll always just remember Carl as getting the first two outs in the 10th inning, and then not being able to get the final one, but then running around with the W flag to celebrate the World Series. I don't need a second. I don't need a second go around with Carl Jr. I really don't.
Yeah, same. Pass.
All right, so if we had to be the guys...
Do you think...
No, go ahead. This delay is...
I'm sorry. Do you think there's any possibility to they start the year with a third catcher? That Jorge Alfaro or Bryce Windham makes the roster?
If they did, it would be Alfaro, and I would say no. Their bench is already bad enough. They can't saddle it with a third catcher. I mean, if Ross was here, of course.
Yeah, exactly.
The more catchers, the better. But build the whole bench out of catchers. Where's Josh
Gomes,
Fegley?
Barnhart and Edwin Rios last year to start.
No, that was Luis Torrens.
Or Luis Torrens. That's right.
Oh, I had to have him. That was great. I forget who they got rid of somebody, and it ended up mattering because it's the bottom end of the. That's the other thing. You agonize over these decisions, and by the time you get to the 26th man, if you lose a guy, you're probably not, you know. I mean, if you're the Cubs and you have to lose Wisdom or Madrigal, I don't think it's going to make or break your season. So
no,
we spent a lot of time talking about it because the first 20 some spots are basically easy to figure out, and so there's nothing to discuss. So you talk about that. I mean, I think if you look at the pitching staff, the thing that when I look at it all laid out like this is, I could use more pitching.
Yeah,
it's pretty thin. Especially when you have to consider, as much as we love Kyle, we don't know what we're going to get out of him. He could be really good again. That would be great. He could be terrible.
Right. We say this every year about Kyle, and he still goes out and pitches pretty much to his career numbers.
Yeah,
you never know when the shoe's going to drop with a guy who's losing velocity, though.
I just feel it's different because of his. We only did that last year. You know, 2 years ago, before he got hurt, he was Kyle. Then he had that. I mean, it always makes me worried that he went to a surgeon and the surgeon looked at how to fix his shoulder and said, "Yeah, I can't really do anything with that. Just rehab it. Maybe it'll work." And it so far it has, and I hope it continues to do that. But that it could go south quick. And then you've got guys like, you know, I worry about Steele now. I worry about Steele kind of wearing out as the season goes, just because the workload went up so much last year. And guys typically have a little bit of a dip the next year. If they don't get hurt, there's usually a little bit of a dip. And then really good pitchers, which I think he is a good pitcher, eventually get it back and they're fine. And maybe he'll avoid it because he got drafted 10 years ago. It's not like he's been pitching pro ball for 3 years. You know, hopefully he can avoid that. Shota, we love Shota. And he's striking everybody out in the spring. Also giving up 3-run homers. But, I think he'll be pretty good. But in the bullpen, then you've got, Merriweather had never done that before. So we don't know. There's nothing weird, you know, there's nothing more, like, variable than middle relievers. They can be great 1 year. Like Brian Dunsing.
True.
Brian Dunsing, first year with the Cubs.
Oh, yeah.
Great. The next year, terrible. The same guy, throwing the same pitches, went from great to terrible in 1 year. And then, you know, still there's a lot of young guys. The thing they've got right now that they didn't have is they've got a fair amount of guys who they're going to count on who have options.
Yes.
Meaning they can more effectively use the shuttle between Iowa and Wrigley. If he has to use a pitcher more than he wants to a couple of days in a row, that guy can go to Iowa for 10 days and somebody else can come up and they can, it's more like what Craig had in Milwaukee, where he had a few bullpen guys that he always had. And then the bottom half of that bullpen was constantly bringing in fresh arms from the minors, which they weren't able to do because most of their bullpen last year was out of options. Like, you know, Adbert, we still think of Adbert as like this kid. He didn't have options last year. And of course, so obviously he doesn't have them this year. And they wouldn't, they didn't, he was, he ended up being the closer. They were going to option him back and forth anyway. But the guys that have options are Kwas, Keegan, Luke Little, Palencia, and then Killian, if he ever, you know, if he's ever able to pitch and they ever want him to pitch. So they've got three guys there, Kwas, Little, and Palencia, that they can kind of play with. And I would guess Little, I think, has a good chance to just be the lefty, a lefty in the bullpen. So maybe it's Kwas and Palencia that they kind of play with.
Well, and you also got whoever among Assad.
And Assad, Wesneski, and Wicks. That's right, because one of those guys at least is going to be in the bullpen. And when, if Tyon comes back ever, then two of them are in the bullpen. So yeah, you're right. That gives you, that gives you a lot of flexibility. So that's good. Still wish they had added one more starter, but who am I to question Jed Carter?
Two of them still out there to be had. Just saying.
Yeah. Although now I think you're to the point where you're getting, maybe you've already passed it, where if you're signing one of them with this year in mind being the impact, it's coming to spring training late, they're going to start the season late.
Right.
Everything gets weird. And they can, you know, it reminds me of Craig Kimbrell, you know, throwing at his high school, waiting. He had to wait a long time. He had to wait until June. Because nobody wanted to sign him before the draft. But, you know, these guys will, you know, they'll, I mean, if you signed Snell tomorrow, he's probably in your rotation by the middle of April. So you might only miss a couple, you know, two, three starts. Yeah. But then you're, is he really ramped up? Does he end up, you know, oh, I got my hamstring sore, you know, the little stuff that you, that's easy to manage when you're, unless you're James Tyon, and then you have soreness in your calves, which somehow migrates to your lower back. That stuff happens to everybody in spring training. That's not a big deal because you're only pitching two or three innings at the beginning. They can give you an extra day if you need an extra day. It's a huge difference if the games are actually counting and the roster is only 26 guys and they're having to manage you because you weren't throwing real pitches until, you know, St. Patrick's Day. So,
right.
And it's funny. Montgomery still thinks he's getting a five-year contract from somebody. It's really funny considering it's like, okay, well, it's the middle of March.
Is that
you're probably not getting
Is that Montgomery talking or is that Boris talking?
No, it sounds like it's Montgomery. Like Boris is ready to do like the 1 year with a big option for both guys. And because Montgomery has more, apparently Montgomery has more interest than Snell, but he's not interested in the way teams are interested in him. And I think Snell is still waiting for the Yankees to be like, fuck it, we're just going to do it. And he's probably right.
Right.
They needed a starter anyway, and now they're...
They probably will be.
You know, they're doing the whole thing with Gerrit Cole. Well, it's his elbow. It'll probably miss a month. He caught Tommy John disease. Everybody knows it. Send him, get it fixed. Get him ready for next year.
Exactly. Yeah, and especially after the Yankees, you know, they lose Cole, and they now no longer have the opportunity to trade for Dylan Cease either.
Yeah.
So that would make the most sense.
Yeah, the Dylan Cease thing. I mean, he's such a weird pitcher. I mean, he's kind of like a right-handed Snell, although less accomplished, in that he gets guys out, but he throws so many balls. You know, he's led the league in walks twice, and he's led the league in wild pitches. So he either leads the league in walks or wild pitches. He alternates. Maybe this is the year he does it both.
There you go. I've heard before from, like, a lot of soccer fans that, like, the thing with Cease is that he is always trying to strike everyone out. Like, he did. And to his credit, you know, with the White Sox, not exactly the best infield defense, so maybe he was right to do that. But that was always his strategy on the mound, and maybe that's what caused to a lot of pitches out of the zone that he couldn't control.
I think he just can't control it. And I guess he's just one of those dudes that, oh, I got such great stuff, I just got to let it run. But yeah, so 2020 led the league in walks. 2021 led the league in wild pitches. 2022 led the league in walks. 2023 led the league in wild pitches. Amazing. And he's been kind of good two seasons, really good one, and below league average in the other two.
Yes.
And it's just not like, I was underwhelmed by the package that the Sox got, but I could see that that's, I think that's what he's probably worth. It wasn't a bad package, but you know, I think their fans were thinking, this is like, you know, he's not Chris Sale. And the funny thing is, they thought they got such a great return from Chris Sale, and it really hasn't worked out. It did for a while,
right,
until Yoan Moncada. Moncada caught COVID, which he apparently has never gotten rid of. that was looking pretty good. And then that was the Kopech trade, right? And the day they make this trade, they end up, Kopech goes to the bullpen.
Yep.
So.
Yeah, exactly. You would think a spot in the rotation would be open.
Like, okay, we're getting rid of him, you know, but we still have Kopech. No, he's going to the bullpen too. We cleared out two spots in the rotation in one day. But what do they care? They're tanking.
Right.
I did get that right, right? That was... Yep. Victor Diaz, Luis Alexander Basabe. Oh, that guy should have made it just for the name. And Yoan Moncada,
right.
Michael Kopech for Chris Sale on December 6, 2016.
That wasn't the same Victor Diaz that killed the Cubs in 04, was it?
No, it was not. No, there's many Victor Diaz.
Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah, poor Luis Alexander Basabe, which I just love that name, pitched 9 games for the Giants in 2020. That's his. No, he's not a pitcher. He's a position player. He's an outfielder. So there you go. People are like,
that's unfortunate. The only games he's ever played was in front of literally nobody.
Yeah. That's like, I know there were, like, you know, Jason Kipnis's big homecoming. Ooh, I'm coming back to the Cubs, going to play in Wrigley Field, and there's never a fan in the stands. And I thought, I don't feel that. Sorry for him. Sorry. Maybe he could come back to DH. All right, so what did we decide? We decide anything? What's our bench? It's Mike Tauchman, Garrett Cooper.
Yep, Mike Tauchman. Yeah,
we think Garrett Cooper.
Deciding that he's on the bench or as DH.
Well, he's DH, but there's four spots: DH and three bench guys. Because the catcher, we've got two catchers already, so we need four spots. There's a DH and then the other three bench spots. So Tauchman and Cooper, we think they're good.
Yep. Amaya.
Yes, but okay. So now two bench spots.
Still. Well, yeah, right.
You're confusing the home listener.
Scaboni. My bad.
Yeah, so two spots for Mastroboni, Madrigal, Wisdom, and then do they want to keep either Dominic Smith or David Peralta? You got two of those four. Five. Two of those five guys. Oh, God, it's tough. What are they going to do?
I think the safe route to go would be Mastroboni gets one, and I wouldn't have thought that he'd make it with Garrett Cooper being signed, but I think Patrick Wisdom, you know, like I said, just as insurance in case, you know, you need a quick fix at third, Christopher Morel doesn't work out there.
Yeah. Right. I think here's the thing I dread. I think Madrigal, I could see the Cubs talking themselves into, we need Nick because he'd be a good pinch hitter. If you need a guy to hit the ball, you know, 84 miles an hour on the ground between the second baseman and the first baseman. And he can be the...
And you really need a pinch hitter in a DH league.
Well, but I think what they're thinking is he could be useful off the bench, which I don't think he can. But then in the late innings, he's the guy that comes in for Morel.
Nah.
Because it's either going to be him. It's either going to be him or actually, I would just as soon it be Mastroboni. But that's me. I have a bias against Madrigal. So here's what I think they're going to do. I think they are going to start the season with those four guys of Talkman, Cooper, Mastroboni, and Wisdom, with Madrigal either on the injured list or in Iowa because he was hurt for so much of spring training. They just punt. They punt the decision. They don't have to make it. They don't make it. And they tell little Nicky, who won't be happy about it, because remember, he threw a fit last year. He got sent to Iowa, and he was terrible when he got sent to Iowa. He wasn't doing anything, and he's like, I don't want to go. It's like, well, tough shit. You have to go. And I'm sure he'll hit, 485 in Iowa, and everybody get all excited.
Right, right.
And then at some point, somebody will...
As is tradition.
Somebody will run into the wall at full speed, and we'll need a body, and little Nick will be back. So that's my guess for that. My guess for the rotation then is, I think Assad goes to Iowa just at the beginning of the year, and Wesneski and Smiley are the extra arms that are there, both in the bullpen, but they use one of them as the fifth starter. I think probably Hayden. But it also, I mean, Hayden and Assad could be completely interchangeable there. I mean, they both have options. Wesneski could be the guy. They may decide that Hayden needs to, start every 5 days, and maybe they're not going to, maybe that's not the plan. I like Assad better. I think Wesneski is a more talented pitcher, but I think Assad is a better pitcher.
And I think Craig has basically said he has really liked what he's seen from Wesneski too.
He was bragging about him before. Remember that whole press conference, his opening press conference, they didn't talk about players. It was the weirdest thing. He talked about his theory, right, and he talked about all this stuff, and they mentioned just a handful of players, and one of them was Wesneski, and Craig is the one who brought him up. So he clearly liked, I think he probably was watching Hayden, come out of the bullpen or whatever, and thinking to himself, how come the Cubs can't figure out how to use this guy? I would know how to use this guy. Why don't they give him to me? We're going to find out someday Hayden Wesneski was the whole reason that Craig Counsell came to the Cubs. That he had under that dress shirt, he had a West Nasty shirt on, and he was ready to go. And then Hayden will make four starts and go to Iowa, and that'll be the end of it. Okay, so that would give me six guys: Steele, Hendricks, Shota, Wicks, Wesneski, and Smiley. So then I need seven guys and the bullpen. So I've got Adbert, Hector Neris, Jerry Merriweather. You're right. I will put Yahensi because they traded for him and they seem to like him. So now three guys out of the rest of this pile of people. I'm going to say that they keep Luke Little, Jose Quas.
I agree there.
And
agree there.
And they thank Carl for his efforts, and they keep Mark Leiter Jr.
Yeah. Was there another pitcher we mentioned?
Well, there's Palencia, Keegan Thompson, and there's other guys that I think...
Palencia, okay.
They've got guys oh, crap, I was just looking at it. Cam Sanders has been really good, but he's not even on the 40-man. I think you automatically just start the year with him in Iowa. Why shuffle guys around? Edwin Escobar might have a chance to make it, but he would require a second person going off the 60 or going off the 40-man, which they might do. And also, there's 2 weeks from today. There's 2 weeks left. Multiple Cubs could, injure themselves.
They could drop dead. Yeah.
Making all of this, they could get on the fishing boat with Bob Ojeda. Wait, that was Florida. They don't have any off days, do they? Because there's other guys like Porter Hodge. People are all excited about Porter Hodge. I think they think his name is cool. Maybe they think he's,
right.
Porter Moser. Brad Wick, the myth of Brad Wick. The guy that has pitched 11 innings in 4 years for the Cubs. he was when they got him, they put him in the pitch lab, they fixed him, he came out, he looked amazing for like in the short stints in 9 innings, and he's never been seen since. Had to have his heart put back together and all kinds of other crazy stuff.
Yeah. All right. Now that we're getting to this point, yeah, I guess Mark Leiter would make it, as much as I think he's irrelevant in this bullpen. But, you know, I don't know. Maybe I missed something on his splits. Maybe he does get righties out pretty
He doesn't. He wasn't very good last year.
Okay.
He was good 2 years ago at both. And then last year, he's kind of the he's like the epitome of the fungible relief pitcher. I mean, I think it comes down to either he makes the team or he's the guy they clear the spot for Carl or Escobar. If they decide they like Edwin Escobar better than Carl, I think it's one or the other.
Actually, we know David Ross would have picked the guy that brought us there.
Yes. Oh yeah. Later, he'd still been mad that Michael Rucker got let go. The handsome Michael Rucker.
Yeah, exactly. At this point, that's probably the best option, Mark Leiter.
Rucker so, sprained
stick his... with him for now, but you know, as the season goes on, is when they really fine tune the bullpen.
Yeah, like I said in my long tortured preamble, the opening day roster. Like, if you really, the smartest thing to do might be, the easy tiebreaker for all this is who has an option and who doesn't. If you got two guys and one's got an option, the guy without the option makes the team. The guy with the option has to go to Iowa. And then you can wait a few days, see how things shake out. You didn't lose anybody. But if you pick the guy with the option over the guy without the option, you risk losing the guy without the option. So, but yeah, Michael Rucker he's a Philly now, but he hasn't been able to pitch for them because of a sprained middle finger on his right hand, which I was sure was him giving it to Carter on his way out of town.
There you go.
I was all for when they had to, when did Rucker lose his spot? Was that for Cody? That doesn't seem right. When they were bringing somebody in and they had to clear a spot, I wanted it to be Rucker or Mark Leiter Jr. just because these weird, oddly shapen guys with the wispy mustaches, I don't have any confidence in them when they come in games. Just get rid of them.
No.
I don't want it.
No.
You don't look like you could get anybody out, so I don't even want you to try.
Back to the same hole that Dennis Lamp is currently living in.
Yeah, the 70s. Every team had six of those guys.
Yeah.
All right. So we did Craig and Carter and Jed's job for him. They're welcome. So do we have any thoughts as to how best Craig Counsell could deploy his starting nine on any given day, batting order-wise? And we know Craig is like, don't worry about the batting order. It's the most overrated thing. Who cares? But we're baseball fans.
Right.
The batting order is important to us because it just is. It's something to complain about every day when the Cubs Twitter account has to post the lineup.
Exactly. I can't wait to be in their replies all this season. It's funny. I looked it up who led the team in on base percentage last year. It was actually Mike Tauchman. Now, he didn't play, you know, he didn't hear the whole season. He only had about 400 plate appearances. But decent sample size, but he's not going to be an everyday starter. The thing that I wonder is, like, will there be a window for him to lead off games and play center before PCA gets called up with Cody Bellinger moving over first? I guess it maybe depends on how well Michael Bush plays to start the year at first. Assuming everyone that we have slated to start plays to their ability, he's still on the bench. I think you probably lead off Ian Happ because he's been leading off a lot of these spring training games that he's been healthy for, and he's looked pretty damn good doing it too.
Well, yeah, you mentioned Talkman had the best on base average. The reason he did is because at the All-Star break, Ian Happ decided, I'm just going to start hitting home runs. And so his on-base average went from 377 in the first half to 341 in the second half. And it really was only bad in 1 month. It was bad in August, 316. Otherwise, it was 405, 383, 343, 355, 316, 357.
Well, I think overall, too, he was only a few points behind Talkman. Yeah. I think Talkman was like 363, half was 360. So, yeah, I mean, you're cutting hairs at that point. I think half would be the ideal one. I don't know. Do we know, does Craig have any preference to, like, alternate lefties and righties? Or
well, we know.
Like,
we know El Baldo did. It was this whole, he was paralyzed. He couldn't make out a whole lineup if he couldn't go right, left, right, left, right, left.
Right. The guy that seems the most likely to hit second the next, and I know we talked about it last time we were on, saying that this guy ideally would hit lower in the lineup, but for now I think he hit second. I think it would be Nico Horner. You know, gets on base a decent amount. He will steal bases for you when he does. Then from there, I think your 3-4-5 is pretty chalk. You go Bellinger, probably Suzuki, then Swanson or Bush, depending on how well Bush does early in the season.
Let's see.
So who did I said?
7, 8, 9. You still have how far did you get? You had Bush hitting seventh?
So, no, I had Bush hitting fifth, but could also be Dansby Swanson hitting fifth, just depending on how well either of those two.
Okay. Oh, you've still got.
I'm just going.
You've still got Morel, the DH, and the catcher left.
Right. I think you go. Well, so I said Bellinger 3, Suzuki 4, 5. One of Swanson or Bush. I think you could alternate those two between 5 and 6. I think ideally you go Morel 7. Who am I missing here? DH would be, assuming it's Garrett Cooper.
And then
that's the thing. The bottom of the order is tricky because there's a lot of guys with like power potential that you don't want hitting low, but not always the best average and on base. So I think you go Morel 6, Cooper 7. Morel 6, Cooper 7. Who am I forgetting here? I would say Gomes 9. What am I forgetting? 8.
I think you skipped a guy. I should have probably written this down. Okay, I think you went Happ, Horner, Bellinger.
Happ, Horner, Belly.
Saya.
Suzuki. Yep.
Dansby or Bush. Those two guys. I think when you flip flap Dansby and Bush, you've lost a player. Cooper.
Cooper.
Oh, we do have Morel. Okay. Morel, Cooper, Jan, or Miguel. I think that's what he had. Okay, so here's mine, and I think I've already written it out on a lineup card, and I will give it to Craig on opening day. It's already ready. Ian Happ leading off, Saya hitting second, okay, which he's been doing. Cody hitting third.
He did a lot of that last year. Yep.
Morel hitting cleanup. Because I think the power's there, and I think I would hit him there. Okay. Then Dansby, then Bush. Although you could flip him so you go more right, left, right. Because right, you'd be switch hitter, right, left, right. If you went Bush, you'd be left again. But I'd like to get Dansby more at bats than Michael Bush, at least early in the year.
Right.
Garrett Cooper, the catcher. and Nico batting ninth, which I think is perfect because then he rolls over.
Okay.
And now he's leading off in front of Hap for the rest of the game.
I like that, the strategy of kind of how Joe Maddon, when he hit his pitchers eighth and have like Tommy La Stella hitting ninth, it's like a double leadoff man with him and Fowler. That's something that I like. Maybe in a scenario where Talkman is the starting on that day, that you see him bat ninth. Yep. Yeah, right. Or but, you flip him in half. I don't know.
So you brought up an interesting scenario, which is on days that you want to, if it's not a great matchup, say for Michael Bush, the easy solution is Talkman goes to center, Cody goes to first. The problem there is that they're all left-handed. So if you're sitting Bush because of a tough lefty, now you've made Talkman face the tough lefty, which might not give you the kind of advantage that you're looking for. So what might end up happening in those instances is Cody stays in center and Garrett Cooper plays first. So I guess what you could do then is you could give, depending on how many days in a row he's been playing, you could DH Cody so he doesn't have to play center that day, and Talkman could play center,
yeah,
and you get your right-handed bat in the lineup. Because I think Craig is going to try to not do what Ross did, which is run every single player into the ground. The advantage they have without a set DH is they can use their regular players in that DH spot to give them a quasi day off, which, and it pissed me off to no end that they, so their DH last year is their utility guy, and they still just DH them all the time.
Morrell.
God forbid you give, that Morrell plays second and Nico goes over to play short so that Dansby can get four at bats and get off his heel, or that Hap, who's been sliding around the outfield, for 2 weeks without a break, can just DH one day and Morrell can go play left. They didn't do it that way. Well, now you can kind of do it because your DH spot is not really accounted for. So you can, basically you can use it to get a bench player four at bats and some time in the field and take somebody and let them still get their four at bats, but not have to run around.
Right. Yeah. Have them only hit, not worry about playing the field.
Or you could go out and just sign JD Martinez and just plug him into the DH spot and let him hit.
That would be ideal.
Let him hit 47 home runs at Wrigley, but no, we won't want to do that because I would. Why would we want to do that? But yeah, and it'll be interesting to see then what, like. How impacted is this lineup if Morrell has to go back to DH and you got to play like Wisdom or Madrigal in the lineup most days because he's your DH? I mean, that screws everything up. I guess Nick could probably hit ninth. He could be that, and Nico moves up a little bit because I'd rather get Nico higher in the order than Madrigal. I wouldn't want to waste a real spot on Nick Madrigal.
Yes.
Nico probably stays there if Wisdom is. Wisdom probably hits seventh in front of the catcher and then in front of Nico. So,
good way to look at it. I think maybe, Morrell could also be an option for, you kind of covered this when you said, given Ian Happ or say Suzuki did off, he has played some center too, could be a guy that could have Cody slide down to first and have him at center. If you want to keep the lineup a little more right-handed.
Yeah.
Case.
What do you make of Craig playing Seiya in left field multiple times in the spring? Now, he said he just did it because you never know, you get late in the season and you have to make a million moves and all of a sudden, you need Seiya to go play left. But why would you ever, who is he? There's a method there. Maybe as simple as if they think at some point PCA is going to be ready and he's going to be in center, that maybe you give Hap a day off or you DH Hap and you'd rather have Cody play right than Seiya. But that seems odd because Seiya's a good right fielder. You think you'd just play Cody in left. There's something there. It's not just, hey, we thought it'd be cool if Seiya got some reps in left. I mean,
The only thing I could think of is, you know, do we think the timetable on Hap's return might be a little later than
right? But what would necessitate? But what would necessitate Saya being the one to go play left? Like, there's nobody on this roster right. that you'd rather have in right than him.
Yeah, that's a good
except
point.
Maybe Bellinger. But wouldn't you say Tauchman's going to play when Hap's out? You're not going to play Tauchman in center and Bellinger in right and Say in left. You're going to move all three guys. You know, you move make two of your three starting outfielders go to different positions for what gain? I mean, Tauchman would be yeah. a better left fielder because that's kind of where his range fits better in left than it does in center.
Right.
So that's actually that's a good defensive outfield. Tauchman in left, Bellinger in center, and Say in right. So it's interesting to me. There's something he's not just doing it to do it, and I can't figure out why he's doing it. Unless they're gonna,
you know,
unless they're gonna trade
he
for
did play around with
Mike
his...
Trout.
Yeah, there you go. Hey, all those little league pictures of him in a Cubs uniform will come back, and that'll yep. be great. Yeah, he did play around quite a bit with his. Defensive alignments in Milwaukee, like Christian Yelich played all over the outfield there. So, you know, it could just be experimental. But I worst case scenario is that Hap might be a longer, and that you know the idea is to just get someone reps out there. I but again, like you said, yeah, say it's Suzuki, you wouldn't want anyone else other than him, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
we learned that the hard way last April with Miles Mastroboni.
Yeah. I mean, 2 years ago, the defensive metrics were not kind to Saya. Last year, they were. Like, he was improved in right field. Right. And then I will never, I mean, I love the guy anyway, but I appreciate him even more when he purposely dropped a fly ball in Atlanta to get David Ross fired. I mean, that's good work. Thank you, Saya.
Right.
But I don't know. It's really interesting. I mean, unless they really want David Peralta to play right field. That's the only guy you can look at on this. Like, well, would he? And he's played mostly left, I think, in his career.
Yeah, he's been left or center most of his career. And again, I don't know. Yeah. Now that I think about it, like, you would just want to stick with Saya there, right? And. Mm-hmm. You know, we've heard all the years that, like, right fielder Wrigley is one of the trickiest right fields to play between the bricks and the ivy and the doors down there.
And the sun, too. There's a certain time of day when it's pointed right at your head for several innings. I don't know. I'm probably making a... It probably really is nothing. It's just Craig... Spring training is boring, and, you know... Saya seemed to... It was disorienting. Just turn the Cup game on, and he's in left for no explanation. I'm like, what the? Why is he over there?
Well, who was playing in right then in that case?
I don't even know.
Let me take a look.
I don't know if it was the great Owen Casey
starting,
who couldn't catch a fly ball.
No, it was Mike Tauchman.
Oh, there you go.
Mike Tauchman was playing right today.
So oh, there they did you it go. Again. Maybe they did it again
maybe
today.
We had
there
it
you
all
go.
Wrong.
Yeah. Maybe that's what it is. Hap is just maybe Hap. It's far more serious than we thought. And he's going to miss the entire season. And so Saya's going to have to play left. Tauchman's going to play right, which I still would have it switched the other way around. But maybe Craig just wanted to see. Didn't want to make a decision without any
right.
data. So it'll be interesting. To me, the thing
Definitely.
That is the most refreshing thing about this season coming up is... knowing that the decisions that will be made for an actual reason, and not just because the manager yeah. is like, I like this guy better than that guy, and so I'm just going to play him there, and I'm going to bat him there. You know, it's
yeah. This guy brought us here, even though we were also 10 games under 500.
Yeah,
with
brought you too. Where? Brought you to a spot that's not in the playoffs? Is that where he brought you? Because you're not there. And you haven't gotten anywhere yet, and see, they didn't bring you anywhere. Just play better players. That'll help. And then I hesitate to bring this up, but I'm going to bring it up because I'm now obsessed with my one of my new favorite Cubs. When Matt Shaw hits like 750 for all of April in Iowa, and he's got to come up. I suppose the easy thing to do is him and Morrell split third base and DH. You don't have to mess with the whole rest of the lineup. Poor Garrett Cooper.
There you go.
Hit the skids, buddy. You know,
yep.
Matt Shaw is here to stay. Sorry. We don't need you. You're not that good.
What needs to happen with Garrett Cooper, though, is he has to sustain the same injury that Mike Olt did before Chris Bryant got called up.
And they got to make him play. They got to make him play a game with it. Right. It was a broken thumb, right? He had to play third base with a broken thumb.
I think that's right.
And I think that was the game that Dexter hit the walk-off in Colorado, and it was like the first like big moment of that year.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Then the next day. Is that right?
Pop quiz for you, Andy. Do you know which pitcher he hit that off of?
Marvin Freeman. No, that's probably not.
No. Be Marvin.
One
of our...
I do.
A star of the 2004 Remember This Crap episode.
Oh, shit. I know. As soon as you say it, I know it. Damn it. All right, go ahead. I can't remember.
It was LaTroy Hawkins.
That's right, LaTroy. How could I forget that?
Yeah. He was still kicking around.
And I'm probably misremembering the sequence there, but I feel like that was the Sunday.
Yep.
And that was the day they had to let pass. Or they had a day off then, and then they could bring Brian up and manipulate his service time and have their cake and eat it too, and they did.
Exactly.
I don't know why I'm looking up Dexter. That's the opposite. I should be looking up Chris Bryant. Oh, the walk-off. That's not right. Because they played a whole series against Cincinnati. Because Bryant famously made his debut against James Shields and the Padres and struck out four times.
I was there for it. That was a very, you know, wet blanket of a game. But, hey, turned out all right for a few years.
I think he struck out five times in his debut with Eugene in his very first minor league game ever. I know he struck out at least four times because I tweeted, oh, he's a bust, you know, jokingly. And one of the Cubs radio guys from minor league went nuts and was like screaming at me on Twitter. I was like, all right. It wasn't Jim Taco.
Favorite guy you see on marquee these days?
No,
I was going to say Alex Cohen.
That dope hadn't, he wasn't anywhere yet. Let's see. Chris Bryant.
Gotcha.
Oh, he only struck out three times against James Shields. He was 0 for 4, though.
0 for 4, yes.
I don't suppose there's any way.
That was the same game. Joe Maddon, I think, wound up getting ejected in that game because there was a ground rule double into the ivy that Dexter Fowler hits, but it was like deflected by like a Padres player into the ivy, and they said that it should have been still a live ball.
All right. Well, good. Look what we did. We set the lineup for the Cubs. Set the roster for the Cubs. We set the lineup for them. We might as well just start the season. They need two more weeks of spring training.
Judd, Carter, Tom, our checks are, we're expecting them. We're waiting right by the mailbox every day for them.
Yep. All right. Well, sounds good. So if we stick to our regular schedule, maybe we won't do this. Maybe we should bump it up a day so that our next pod is the night before opening day.
Okay.
But our next one will be that week, getting ready for real games. And then we'll know who they kept. Then we can bitch about their decisions. That'll be even better.
There we go.
All right.
Exactly.
Many of us have herpes.
This is rough, but it's also finished.
It's fitting. It's got to be done with one of the best games of all time. Just unbelievable. Got to congratulate the Dolan family.